We're up to Pasuk, really Pasuk Gimel, up to Pasuk Gimel. Sheishonim tizra sodecha v'sheishonim tizmor kamecha. 6 years you shall seed. Okay, you shall seed your land. Okay, for 6 years v'sheishonim tizmor kamecha. You shall prune your vineyard. Okay, there is a little bit of a topic of discussion over here. Is what exactly is the meaning over here? Tizmor, because when it comes to the field, it says to seed, which means for the very first time, plowing, tizmor. We commonly translate the word tizmor to mean to prune, which means you're not planting anything fresh. You're not planting new vines. You're just improving the old vines. So why, when it comes to seeding, obviously when it comes to planting, you're going to plant fresh. But when it comes to the vineyard, why does the Torah only address the pruning and not address the prohibition to plant new vines? Okay, let's leave it for that. Now, Yosafti, you'll gather es tevua saw its produce. It says Yosafti tevua saw, the words is tevua saw going also on the vines. Okay, that's both said. It's a really different expression. It would appear, if you wanted this pasuk more literally, it would appear to be a problem because the pasuk here says that you will seed grain in the sodeh, you will plant, you will prune your vineyard, and when it comes to harvest, it's only discussing the prohibition to harvest es tevu osa. It's her produce. We typically like to assume the word tevu osa refers to the sodeh, not to the kerem, which is misleading. Because the same way there's a prohibition to harvest the tevuah, it is also forbidden to harvest the vineyard. And how come that's not being addressed by the pasuk? So the simple answer that you will suggest is, the word tevuah saw goes back on both. The word tevuah saw is a term that can really be used in reference to the sodeh and to the kerem. Is that really correct? Not so simple. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says pasuk dalid. There is no Rashi. There's no Rashi on this pasuk. Dalud v'ashana hashviyis, and the 7th year Shabbat Shabson Yel Arid Shabbat Lashem Sadchol Loisizmor, and the seventh year, will be a Shabbat Lashem. We have to go to the next page. We'll just leave for one moment. Let us read over here what is over here in Rashi. Rashi pasuk Dalud says Yel Arid Lasadois Ulukam. So the 6 years you will plant, for 6 years you will seed, for 6 years you will prune, and you will gather, and you will gather in its produce. Fine. And the 7th year, it's going to be a Shabbat, Shabbos Lashem, a double expression. It will be La'aretz, the earth. Shabbos Lashem. Okay, notice where Shabbos appears 3 times. There will be a Shabbos, Shabboson to the earth, and Shabbos Lahashem. Now remember, we had this little big discussion, this whole discussion last year about the precise meaning of the word Shabbos in reference to Shemitah. Does it mean the land will rest, or does it mean you shall relinquish your control? Rashi told us the word Shabbos Lashem back in Pasuk Beis means the land shall rest. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with the land must rest. In this pasuk, it says Shabbat Shabboson Yel Oretz. Here, the pasuk says the land shall rest, like what Rashi said before, and then it says Shabbos LaHashem. Okay, we have to see this one moment. We're over here. Rashi says Yel Oretz L'Sodos U'L'Kramim. Shall be for the Oretz. What is Rashi coming to tell us? Shall be for the earth, to the fields and the vineyards. Lois is more. Okay, we didn't read the next pasuk, but because we have only 1 page at a time on the Zoom, I don't know how to do 2 pages at the same time. But it says lo sizmo, you shall not prune. Shekoytetzin zimoy roisera v'targumoy lo sichsoch. So Rashi says it means you're gonna cut its branches, and the targum is lo sichsoch v'doymoloi koytzin kisuchim, and we have a similar pasuk in Yeshaya where it says the word kisuchim. Koitzim kisuchim, serufa be'esh kisucha. In this context, in Yeshaya and in Tehillim, the word kisuchim refers to thorns. Part of the what is growing that is of no value. It is not beneficial. We'll come back to this. Let's see the Targum and we'll come back to that. Pasuk Gimel says, Shei shonim 6 years tizrach chaklach. For 6 years you will seed your land. Chaklach means the earth. V'sheishnin tich, here's the key word, pruning. Tichsach you will prune karmach, v'sichnoish, you will gather in yos alalta, which means the produce, uva shato, uva in the year, shevi esa, niyoch, shemitza. Okay, Targum here is being consistent, the shalbina, but here he is in the word niyoch, to rest. A resting of release. Okay, we have a lot here to see. Let's try to see what's going on over here in the parish and try to make some sense out of all this. First thing over here is in Pasuk Dalet, in the Targum on the bottom, it says, on the bottom over here, it says Tichsach. Yeah, I'm going to go very quickly so we can cover more ground. Tichsach means to prune. He's going to try over here in this parish to make a machlokes somehow between Rashi and Unkelis in some way or form, by showing that the word tichsach, it's not so simple what it means. Kavanosoi krisas koitzim hoanofim hayotzim natzemach. Asher ein tzarech lohem. Pruning, this is what we call pruning. Kagoin zimor hakormim, to prune the vineyard. Kavanosoi shechotech ha'olim v'asharish nishabaretz, you cut the leaf and the root remains in the ground. Okay, kesicha b'unkelis hi loshen krisa. Now, here is where we're getting into a problem. He wants to say that the Targum of the word Kisicha, which is tich, these three letters of Chof, Samach, and Ches, it means to cut. The Doibel of Lashon HaMikra, Koitzim Kisuchim, okay, cutting thorns. Aval Yeisham, some say Kisicha, but Uncle is Omnam, he Lashon Kirisa. Aval eino kiloshin kisicha b'mikra, elihi rak kirisa l'to'eles kiloshin zimira kan. So in other words, what we're saying over here is that there are two types of cutting. You can cut to harvest, or you can cut thorns. We like to translate the word, the common translation, and probably every English translation you'll come across will be, for 6 years you will seed your field, and for 6 years you will prune. They will translate the word tizmor to prune. You know how far they go to translate the word to prune? Because everyone likes to say that when it comes to davening, we say pisuke de zimra, a zemer. A zemer means a song. It's the same word, zayin memresh. And some of the farshima are so affected by the translation of Zemer, Zayin Memresh means to prune, they will tell you, this is extremely popular, that when you are reciting Pesukei de Zimra, the goal is to cut away all of the distractions of your mind before you enter the main portion of prayer of Baruch Hu and Birchos Kriyas Shema. Now, during Corona, there are many shuls, there are still many shuls that still do this. They made a rule that we are going to start davening with Baruch Hu. Okay, I know in Boston, they're still doing this. In Boston, davening begins with Baruch Hu, at least in one shul.
With Nishmas on Shabbos, right?
Or on Shabbos, Nishmas. Okay, on Shabbos, or maybe not, maybe because Shechinah, why? Why even that? Why start on Shabbos also?
I think the chiyuv to say Nishmas, you can't...
So the chiyuv to say Nishmas is part of Pesukei de Zimra. That's not a part, you don't have to say Pitzibur, you say B'yachid. Okay, you say B'yachid. There's no chiyuv to say Nishmas. Nishmas, if you have to skip, don't skip Nishmas. But if you have to skip, you can skip Nishmas also. I mean, not supposed to do that, but you know, there are different set of rules. When you do have to skip, what should you cut out? And what you should not. And Nishmas is the last thing to cut out. You should never cut out Nishmas. But it's not as a mamash achiv to say Nishmas. So there are many shuls today that just skip. They just start with Baruch Hu. Why? Because the main part of davening is Baruch Hu. You come to say Baruch Hu. You say the whole psuke, the zimmer in your house, in the safety of your home, from the beginning of davening until you conclude Yishtabach. You finish off Yishtabach. Yishtabach is the gemar of psuke, the zimmer. And then you get in the car, and you put on your tefillin in the car, some places, I don't know what they do now, you put on your tefillin in the car, and then you come into shul, bidyuk, the exact moment when they're going to start Baruch Hu, and you sit in a special designated seat, you have to register. I know in Boston, it's still loose, you have to register still for every single minion, and there's a designated seat for the people who have registered to keep them at the greatest distance. Kol hakavod. Okay, and they skip the whole besug the zimra. You're on your own. Not to be done. It's not going to be done in shul. So why don't we do that every single day? Why only during COVID do we do that? The answer, obviously, there's something very significant about besug the zimra. There's a purpose to say besug the zimra, even though it may not be the main part of davening. But there's a purpose. What's the purpose? So I think the simple understanding is it gets you in the swing of things. It's to give shevach v'hoidah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we come to the brachos of Kriya Shema and ask, make our request. It's derech eretz, you should praise Hashem. Absolutely. But if you look in the Kabbalistic Svarim, they're going to tell you that Psuki de Zimra, not only are you praising Hashem, you're also pruning. You're pruning. What are you pruning? You're pruning, you're removing the distractions, the klipos, whatever that means. You're removing the distractions of life. It's not just a simple act of giving praise to Hashem. Because the word zemer, psuke, the psukim of zemer, the zimra, the word zimra means to prune. Why did Chazal coin the expression? And that's only true if you take the word tizmar to mean to prune. Whoever said it means to prune? Maybe the word tizmar is the Torah's reserved word for harvesting a vineyard. Every type of produce has its terminology, like animals. Animals make sounds. So a horse neighs, a cat meows, a dog barks, a donkey, what does a donkey do? I forgot, all these, there are many terms. Every single animal.
Brays.
Okay, every single animal has its unique expression, the sound that it makes. In agriculture, every single product has its unique expression. Grapes, it's called boisek, boitzer, but in the Gemara at least, boitzer. Olives, mosek. Grain, it's koitzer. Boitzer, koitzer, and moisek, and I'm sure there are more. I don't know all the figs, and then there's another term for figs. Every product has its unique word. So perhaps, to be consistent, the word tizra means for 6 years you shall seed the earth. Okay, v'shei shanim, and 6 years. Now here it says tizmor karmecha. What does that mean? V'yosafta es tivuasa. Perhaps what it means is, you shall harvest your vineyard, and you shall harvest your grain. You plant the field. The vineyard, we're not, for whatever reason, we're not discussing the planting of new vines, because I guess you don't plant vines every so often. Vines are planted only occasionally. You don't plant new vines every single year. Okay, it says for 6 years you do the same thing. For every year of the 6 years, you're going to plant that. You always do. You plant for 6 years, assuming that it's a healthy piece of land. And every single year, the vines will produce a new crop. You will harvest the crops of your vineyard. And you'll gather in the tzvuah. Whoever told you that tizmar means to prune. And then by extension, psukei de zimra, is the psukim which prune the distractions of life in order to put us in the right frame of mind. So in order to enlighten us, we have a Rashi that wants some action. He's looking for action, Rashi, over here. And the Rashi's reason why Rashi is getting into action is because Rashi took note of the Targum. And the Targum said this bizarre word, for 6 years, tich sach kar moch. What does that mean? What does it mean, tich sach? And what does Rashi say? Rashi says, lo sizmor, shekoitzitzin zimoy roisecha. And then he quotes the Targum, the Targumoi loy sich soch, the doime loy, and he quotes the Targum, which seems that he's agreeing with the Targum, the doime loy, what's similar is koitzim kisuchim, thorns that are kisuchim, it's the same letters, chof samaches, surufa boesh kisucha. The thorn, what has been cut off, what has been cut off is burnt in fire. Now here is the issue. It appears that Rashi, this is what he seems to be saying over the Ma'atzari. He appears that Rashi really is telling us not like the Welt, what the world tells us. The world is brainwashed that tizma means to prune. It doesn't mean prune. It means harvest. There are grapes that are growing. You're going to cut her branches. What does that mean? I don't know how this works. Maybe you can tell me. When you harvest grapes, I go into the store and they sell clusters of grapes. They don't just sell you the grapes. The clusters, they're on like small branches. You know, at least when you go online, you look at the pictures, you go to a Shutterstock, or type in, you know, I once actually had to go find grapes. I was doing something and I needed some good pictures of grapes, different color grapes. I must have spent a lot of time on this. And they show you, you know, the raw, the poor product when you buy in the grocery store. They don't just sell you the grapes. They cut branches off. And on the branches, there are multiple clusters of grapes. I don't think that, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know how the industry works. Do they go?
Rabbi,
yeah. Yeah.
Rashi is persistent because every year in the winter, before the sap starts running in the grapes, you have to prune it. If you didn't prune it, then there will be no grapes. It will get like wild.
Okay.
So sowing and pruning is like preparing for the next crop.
Absolutely. You must prune the grape. I have no doubt about that. But here's the problem. The problem is, what about harvesting the grapes? This pasuk
says about harvesting.
No, it doesn't say anything about harvest. And this, the next pasuk talks about Shemitah. First, we're talking about the 6 years. For 6 years, you're going to seed the earth. For 6 years, you're going to do this thing called Tizmar Karmecha. So let me just present this. I'll give you two choices of what this word, these words mean. If the word Tizmar Karmecha means to prune, then my question to you is, how come the pasuk does not tell us that for 6 years, you shall harvest your grapes? It says in the next words of the pasuk, "V'osafta," you will gather in es tevu asa, her produce. Now I know you're going to tell me that the word tevu asa goes back on both tevu asa. Even though we are more familiar that with translating the word tevu asa to mean grain, you will tell me, no, the word tevu asa is a general term which means her produce. And produce is not just grain, it refers to grapes. The earth produces grapes and the earth produces grain. Right? Okay, I'll accept that. So Tizmar Karmecha, like Ablaze says, it means to prune.
Because it's crop. Doesn't use
grain. So crop is a generic term which goes back on both. Goes back on Tizmar and goes back on Tizras, on grain and on the vineyard. Because when it's said here, Tizmar Karmecha, it means to prune. But I want to suggest to you, okay, I accept that. Okay, that's how I always understood the pasuk my whole life. Not that I ever paid much attention to it, not that I ever really studied this, but if you would ask me in the middle of the night, if you would wake me up in the middle of the night, and it'll take me 20 minutes to wake up and figure out which world I'm in, and then you'll show me this pasuk, that's what I would tell you. But is that really correct? The word tevu asa, I can't go prove it to you, but I think most people, when you say the word tevua, you think about one thing only. Grain. Grain. You don't think about grapes. That's just not the word. Okay, I know, you'll tell me it means crops and it means everything. Okay, fine. But the average person does not associate the word grapes with the word tevua. Now, if you're going to work with that approach, so now we have something that's very curious. Just like, I have a question. Okay, there's not a difficulty. Whatever, you'll work backwards. But you know what it's like learning Chumash? It's like doing your taxes and wanting to go to jail. You start off the taxes backwards. How much money do you want to get back this year? That's how you start. You don't start the tax return from the beginning, page one. You start the tax return from the last page. how much money do you need to survive this year? You put down whatever number you want, and then you work backwards to make sure that it works out. Go to jail. Don't pass go.
That's how you do in the chemistry lab in the college.
You go backwards, right? A lot of times in Chumash, you know, you have an objective, you have your pshat, you don't have time, everyone is very busy, so we'll work backwards. We don't want to have any difficulties here. It says here the word tivu asa, it means crap. You know why it means crap? Because we don't have time to pay attention to what it really says. So let's make it convenient. You'll gather in her crop. Oh, her crop is a term which means grapes, olives, everything. So there it says you're going to plant the field for 6 years. And you're going to prune the vineyard. Beautiful. And then you're going to, the next expression goes back on both. You're going to gather in the grain and you're going to gather in the grapes. Wonderful. Okay, I have no problem with that. That's what I tell you, that's what I always assume it means. Is that really correct? Because the only reason why I'm even second guessing is because the Ma'atzar really is, that's what he appears to be doing. He appears to be saying that it's not so simple, that's what it means. And then when you go back and you look at Rashi and the Targum, hey, we have a whole new understanding. Rashi is misleading because Rashi seems to say, you're cutting off the branches, and maybe this Tepshah, like what you said, or Blazer said, is that, you know, when you cut the branches, that's what you do. You're pruning. That's what pruning is. You cut the branches in before the season begins in order to get the branches up and running, optimize the branch to produce the maximum product by getting rid of all the waste and getting rid of the thorns and the bad branches. But if I'm not mistaken, maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, when they harvest grapes, they don't go and take off the tree or the vines every single cluster of grapes individually. If I'm not mistaken, more often than not, they cut a branch, and on the branch there's a whole collection of multiple clusters. There are 5 clusters, 3 clusters, 4 clusters, maybe even more, maybe there are 10 clusters. I don't know. I really don't know. For some reason, my impression is, based on the pictures that I've seen, is that when they harvest grapes, the way you harvest grapes is by cutting off a branch. You don't cut off a big branch, because you want it to grow back next year, but a little bit, you can cheat a little bit. You can cut off a small branch, which has on that branch three, four clusters of grapes. Am I wrong? Am I saying something wrong? Maybe I am. I don't know. That's my impression. You cut a little branch, which has a few clusters, and you take the few clusters in one shot into your wheelbarrow. Rabbi Lezer, is that how it goes?
They do when they were naturally wanted to make the dry how you call it?
Raisins.
You dry out of the sun.
Raisins.
Dry raisins. You would do it there.
But not for wine?
You put a basket under the grape and you cut it.
Each
and
one individually?
They do machines. They just...
Okay, so today there's technology which makes it different. I don't know. I really don't know. This requires research. I am suggesting, maybe I'm totally wrong, is the way you harvest grapes in ancient times, in some respect, is you cut small branches. And when you cut small branches, on the small branch, there are multiple clusters of grapes. Now, if that is correct, and maybe it's total nonsense what I'm saying, okay, like I told you once, I once gave a shiur on what bracha you make on donuts, and I was describing how to make donuts, and there was a woman that was listening to the shiur. And when the shiur was over, they sent me a message and they said, you don't have a clue how to make donuts. Everything that you said in the shiur is total, total nonsense. You never walked into a kitchen, you never made donuts, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, I accept. They're right. If I don't know what I'm talking about, fine. But let's make believe the world of fantasy. If the way you harvest grapes is by cutting off small little branches which have multiple clusters, then when it says here like sismar, we're not talking about pruning. We're talking about harvesting. Shekoitzitzin zimoy roiseha. And then when he quotes the Targum, Rashi is explaining, don't be misled from the Targum. Rashi is always commenting on the Targum. It says, lo sichsoch. Do you know what the word sichsoch means? It doesn't mean to prune. It means to cut. It just so happens the place we find cutting, you're cutting thorns. So you get misled to believe that if you're cutting thorns, you're pruning. Because thorns are going to ruin everything. Not necessarily. And even if it's true, so in that context, there it means to prune. But here it doesn't mean to prune. Here it means to cut. V'doy meloy, koitzim kisuchim. Thorns that have been cut. The pasuk here is not addressing the fruit. Oh, now that I got rid of the thorns, we're addressing the thorns. Normally when you prune, you couldn't care less what you take off the tree. When you take off the tree, it goes right into the garbage. It's not even worth mentioning. When we talk about pruning, we have this beautiful tree, we have an orchard, and you're getting rid of the bad stuff in order to preserve the good stuff. We don't give the bad stuff focus. And here we're talking about the thorns. It seems like you want the thorns. You need the thorns. You need the thorns to for firewood, to make the start of fire. Serufa, it's burned ba'esh kisucha, like thorns that have been cut off. This is what we want. We want the thorns in this pasuk. And the word kisucha in this context means to cut. In other words, harvest. When it says cutting the branch, it doesn't mean cutting empty, dead branches that are going to get in the way, are going to steal the nutrients and minerals of the earth and take away from those nutrients and minerals going into the grapes. No, the season is over. We're now going to harvest the grapes. And the Targum does this one with a sheish on him, tichsach karmach. So, I don't know what is the correct pshat. And that way, you no longer have to say the word tevuasa means crop. You can now say the word tevuasa means grain. You're harvesting the grain, like it says in the beginning of the pasuk. Shei shonim tizra, you will seed sodecha. You will seed your field, and it takes time to grow. You plant the field in the beginning of the year, and you'll harvest the grain at the end of the year. In the middle of the year, what are you going to do? You're going to harvest the vineyard. Oh, when did you ever plant the vineyard? When did you prune the vineyard? The pasuk is not telling you all the nitty gritty. Pasuk is not telling you how to install a kitchen sink. It's not telling you how to what tractor you should buy to make your land good. We're talking about the main things, the main avoda. You don't have to. You don't go and plant a vineyard every year. The vineyard remains from year to year. You make improvements. You make capital improvements. You prune. You fertilize. You bring in, you make capital improvements. Gesundheit. The Torah is not here to tell you about the capital improvements you've made to the field. That's a separate story. That, of course. We're talking about the primary function. The primary function of a field is you have to seed the field. That's a big job. That's a big, big job to go see the field and all that it entails. It's a big to-do to harvest the produce, the grain. It's a big deal. It's a big deal to go out and harvest the grapes. Okay, do you have to tend the vineyard and make sure it's getting enough water and prune? Yeah, of course you have to do that, but the Torah is not here to go tell you what's for dinner tonight. We're not here to tell you all the details. Of course, those things you do, that's not relevant to our pasuk, what we're trying to bring out. So whoever said the word tizmar means to prune. It means to harvest. And it is the term the Torah selected for grapes, just like the word tevua, the osafta, means to gather in estevu asa her grain. It's a terminology. The asav estevu asa is the grain. Tizmar karmecha is the harvest of the grapes, not the pruning of the vineyard. And Rashi seems to say, shekoitzitzin zimoy rosecha, with the grapes on it, not the dead branches. V'targumoy lo sichsach. What does the word sichsach mean? Here it's a bit misleading, and that's I think the reason why we always jump to the conclusion that it means to prune. But is it really that what Rashi says? V'doymoloi koitzin kisuchim, thorns that have been cut. We're talking about the thorns. We're not talking about the leftover tree. Tsurufa bo'esh kisucha, kisucha him, something that's been cut off, a thorn that has been cut off the tree. Okay, I'm throwing out this idea. I don't know what I'm saying, may be totally wrong, and I accept if it's totally wrong, but I'm not the one that brought up this idea. The one that brought up this idea is the Ma'atzari. I wouldn't know anything not for seeing what he says over here. And he says, Kesich v'glisiloshan kerisa. Okay, and then he goes on to Avil Yesh Oimrim. Now, he's not developing it the way we just did, but he's opening up a whole new world here by telling us this. Yeshem Kesicha, or the other way around. In the beginning, he says, I'm not even sure which one he says first. Tichsach, Kavanosei, Kirisas, Kitzois, the edges of the branches. Hayotze v'nat Tzavach, Asher Ein Tzach, this is Asher Ein Tzach, you don't need them. Pruning. Okay, he seems to say pruning over here. Zemor hakramim. It seems the Rambam, he learns the word zemor, means to prune. In the Rambam, it means pruning, the same word. Okay, that's not a kasha. But the Rambam has different vocabulary. It's not, we find it very often. Lashon Torah luchot, lashon chacham luchot. But what is it here in the pasuk? And here, aval yeshayimrim, kisicha, unklis, aval hi lashon karisa, it's cutting. Aval enik lashon sicha b'mikra, elihi rakarisa lito elis, lito, he's throwing this around. He's throwing things around over here. Dever v'shulim amri kol dover shenichsach machalif. Anything which is cut, it regrows. In a targum, who deloik ki Rashi. Okay, I didn't look this up. In the back of the sefer, he tells you there's more to discuss. Le'inyan in hatargum who deloik ki Rashi ayin b'miluim in the supplementary material. We have enough. You know, we can say what we want to say also. He gave us, this is not a Rishon over here. What he writes over here is someone from the 21st century who wrote this parish, who only died two years ago. He's throwing out these amazing ideas, and we have a right also to analyze what does Rashi really mean. Okay, now, next thing over here is about Shabbos. Now, we spent a whole shiur on this, and we're not going to go through the whole thing, but over here, we have a very big problem in this pasuk. Because this problem over here says the word Shabbos three times. Now, this is a monkey wrench. This really, really ruins everything. This pasuk here totally ruins our shiur we had 2 days ago. 2 days ago, we learned about the beginning of the parasha, Daber, V'yamar, L'kisul Tashani, V'shavas Soharet Shabbos L'Hashem. We had the word Shabbos twice, and we try to bring out that there's a massive machlokes between Rashi and Unklis is what is exactly Shemitah all about. And we try to say that according to Rashi, Shemitah it's for us. The land, it's not about the land. It's a year where we, like Rashi says, Shabbos Bereishis. L'shem Hashem k'shem shnemer b'Shabbos Bereishis. Rest. You rest. It's Shabbos to Hashem. According to Targum did not say this. Targum said he translates the word Shabbos not the way he translates the word Shabbos in Bereishis and in the Aseres HaDibros. Every time we had Shabbos Kodesh, the seventh day of the week, the Targum translated Shabbos to mean Shavos, rest. And here he translates it with the word Shemitisa, which means to release, let go of the land, release your grip of the land. We spent a lot of time on this, which it's an entirely different interpretation. This is not Shabbos Kodesh, it's a year to let go. You're not the Baal HaBos. This has nothing to do with the land needs with a recognition of Hashem. It's Shabbos LaHashem. It just simply means to let go. This is not a sacred word. Shabbos, according to Rashi, is a sacred word. It's a holy day to Hashem. Hashem created the world in 6 days and He rested. We are connecting to Hashem. We're becoming like Hashem, Shabbos Kodesh. It's a spiritual experience. According to the Targum, this is not a spiritual experience. Let go! Let go, you're a bully. Who do you think you are over here? You're the balabas, you're holding on. Let go of the land. It's not this year I want you to release yourself, to relinquish the land. Nothing to do with anything but religion. Now the problem here is, and he explained, Shemitaso Kodom Hashem. Let go of the land before Hashem. You can't deny the fact that it says LaHashem, but he still insisted on translating even the word Shabbos in Pasuk Beis as Shemitisa. Now here's the problem. The problem over here is that in Pasuk Dalet, the Targum is contradicting himself. Uvashona Hashvius Shabbos Shabbosoin. The reason why he's contradicting himself is not because there is a contradiction, but it's because of the repetition of the word. Shabbos, Shabbosoin. Doesn't say Shabbos, Veshav Soretz, and therefore he says, Niyoch, Uveshono Shvi Esau, Niyoch, arresting. Wow. That's what Rashi really said. To rest. There's a holiness in the resting, and then he can't just give us make it easy for us. So he has to also say shemitisa, let go, the more mundane approach. Okay, now let's see there is no Rashi. Rashi has nothing to say. Rashi already said it. Rashi said it before that it's a holy day like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur it says is also Shabbos Shabbos. So here in the Matzor, let's see what he says. Menucha shel aziva. He adds this word menucha. Shel aziva, v'yakavona, shetenuach ha'aretz, land shall rest. Shelo yechrash, v'lo yevoid, oiso klau. L'shon Shabbos, keinu hafsoka, u'bitl melocha, l'chem yesh lo gam ha'shmois shel menucha, shehamaspik me'avodosai, kvar motza menucha, okay, kosav ha'malbum k'moi. Now let's go now go to the next page. Okay, give me just 1 second to figure out how to do this. 1 second here. Shouldn't take long. Hope not. To put up the next page. Put the wrong page. 1 second. Okay, I think this is it. 1 moment. Okay. Okay, yeah, I got it. Just 1 moment. Do a share. Okay, here it is. Okay. He continues. Over here, Hashabbos, I'm going to go on the side. Leman yenuach sharcha v'chamorcha v'chol asher lecha kein roi shetenuach ha'aretz. I'm going to go on from the side over here. The land shall rest. He makes this point. So he basically says what we said exactly. The fact is that here in this pasuk, for whatever bizarre reason, it says Shabbos Shabbosan. And here the Targum concedes to the Rashi, there shall be a resting of the land that comes from your release. Rashi never spoke about release, never. Rashi says whenever it says the word Shabbos, it means one thing only. It takes you to the word Shabbos that was said by Maisa Bereishis. When you talk about a Shabbos by Maisa Bereishis, there's something divine. There's something that's supernatural. Hashem made the world in 6 days. Hashem, the way Chazal explains, Hashem really planned to make the world in seven. This is Perush Rashi. Hashem planned to make the world in 7 days. But what did Hashem do? He worked overtime on day six in order to finish up everything that was planned to be created on day seven, so that day seven shall be a day of rest for Hashem. And we have to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to make sure that we get all of our work done, work that would ordinarily be done over 7 days. We have to hustle. It's a very powerful lesson that a Jew is a hustler. A goy sheshavas is chayiv misa. What does that mean? During the week, there's 7 days work. You have to plan your week according to the plan of 7 days. There's enough work to do. You have to create a plan to work exactly 7 days. And then what you have to do is you have to hustle and get the work that's meant to be done in 7 days done in 6 days, so that you have a day of rest, just like Hashem did, to imitate Hashem. Hashem had 7 days of work ahead of him to create this world, and he accelerated the process, and everything was complete by the end of 6 days, so that he can rest on day seven. So when you come to day seven, Shabbos, you know, it captures, this is a general idea of Shabbos, this has nothing really to do with Shemitah, but we're going to apply this to Shemitah in one moment. This is very important, this idea, that's how we also want to explain Shemitah. Now, when it comes to Shemitah, when you come to Shabbos and you rest on Shabbos, you're stealing time. You comes to Shabbos, you know why I'm able to rest on Shabbos? It's not because it's my day off. It's because I worked harder during the 6 days to get everything done earlier so that I can earn and enjoy this day. I can have a day off. I work a couple of extra hours. I work harder, more intensely, accelerate the pace so that I can enjoy the Shabbos. So when you come to Shabbos, you bring with you the sensation, the happiness. Look what I did. I did all my work quicker the whole week in order to come to Shabbos. That means every single one of the 6 days of the week is a preparation for Shabbos. Hayoim yoim rishon b'Shabbos. Why do you have to say yoim rishon b'Shabbos? Because since Shabbos is coming and I have 7 days of work, and Shabbos is coming, I have to do today an additional more work. I have to accelerate the pace and go overtime to make sure that all my work will be done by Shabbos, so I'll be able to enjoy the day. Just like Hashem did the same exact thing. Now, that creates for us a whole new idea when it comes to Shemitah. Is Shemitah just stam azoy? Stam, vacation. You work what you're supposed to do. You know, you're in America. In America, you get vacation. You get maternal leave, paternal leave. You get benefits, you get this, you get that, you get vacation. Oh, so Shemitah is, let the land have a rest. Let the land rest. And you also have a rest. You don't work, the land doesn't work, everyone is happy. Everyone gets benefits from the government, stimulus checks, everything is toivinoim, everything is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Is that the pshat? Or is the pshat, no, is the pshat when it comes to Shemitah, work the land, during the 6 years, work it hard. Work it hard. Hustle. So that the earth will produce in 6 years what it really takes 7 years. Isn't that what it says in the Pasuk? V'tzivisi es birchosi lochem bashana hashishis v'yosos es hatzvo l'shlesh hashanim. I will command my blessing to you. Don't worry, Hashem. In the sixth year. What does the pasuk really mean? Does it mean literally, like what we like to think it means? Or maybe what it means is I'm going to help you work harder in all 6 years. Bashana Hashishis, does it mean the sixth year, or does it mean, can it be interpreted to mean all 6 years? Maybe not, it cannot be it means there'll be a momentum. You'll build up a momentum where you're gonna overwork the land gradually every year. Year one, you're gonna overwork the land a little bit more than you should. Year two, a little bit more than you should. And you're gonna build up the production of the land. You're gonna train the earth to work harder than it should, so that when naturally, when you get to year number six, the land's gonna work, be able to produce double or triple, because you're gonna plan on genetically engineering the earth, if we can use that expression. You will genetically, and this everything is a chokhmah. You have the same two farmers. One farmer gets a lot more out of the land than the other, scientifically, because you have to know how to maneuver. You got to know how to maneuver and train the earth to produce. That would make Shemitah into Shabbos Kodesh. You're following the same approach. I want you to plan ahead to enjoy a year off, to celebrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu like Hashem did b'maisa b'reishis. So work harder, hustle the land. Genetically engineer the soil. Do whatever you need to do to make it that when you get to year six, that the land will produce enough to get you through, and I'll help you also. I'll give you some siyat v'shemaya. It's gonna be a whole year. Is that the pshat or no? Shemitah has nothing to do with Shabbos Kodesh. During your 6 days of labor during the week, you have to hustle so that you have a day off. That's clear as day, because that's what Hashem did by my celebrations. It says the Pharisee and Rashi. But Shemitah, who says? Year one, you do what you're supposed to do, relax. Year two, year three, year four, year five, year six, dude, go at a leisurely pace. And year seven, vacation, let go. This is not a holy experience. This is vacation. What is it? It's very complicated. From the first, when we learned on 2 days ago, it seemed that Zemachloikis, Rashi, and Unkelus. But this pasuk shows us that even according to Unkelus, there is an element, which so later in the Erev starts later, even according to Unkelus, there's an element of niyoch, of resting, of Shabbos Kodesh. Because the pasuk says Shabbat Shabbason, and you can't ignore, you can't go translate. It means release, impossible. It has to refer to a degree of rest, just like by Yom Kippur it means Shabbat Shabbason. There has to be some element of Shemitah is a holy experience. You are connecting yourself to Hashem. He had a plan, and he implemented the plan in order to rest. To teach us that we should plan, do more during the week to in order to have that satisfaction. Now we come to the end, we have a time to rest. There's an element of Kedusha in Shemitah. All right, that's our Shiva today. Thank you very much, Rabbi Yitzchak, for coming and listening. Have a wonderful evening. Mr. Shem, tomorrow is Thursday, so tomorrow we're on Sidur. We're up to Rifa'enu. We did already one. Maybe we'll do more on Rifa'enu tomorrow. We did last week Rifa'enu. Maybe we'll have another session on Rifa'enu. If not, we'll go on to Baruch Aleinu. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night. Thank you very, very much, everyone, for coming. Hashi Ogma, Mr. Shokrech, for coming. Thank you very much.
Good night. Thank
good
you.
Night. Good night.
Night, everyone. Servus, Laser Bachi.
Servus.
Ezra, you here? Ezra Fried, you here?
Yeah, looks like.
Okay,
good night, Rabbi.
Good night, be well.
I sent you a video, you saw it, right?
I assume you sent me something I didn't see, and I just looked glance at it.
The latest video, what happened
before. Yeah, I saw.